Begin the current daf himself. B'sachem daf mem base. Begin 11 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah from the previous daf, that again is discussing the topics of these dafim regarding the chashashas, the concerns we have regarding items becoming chametz. Now, one of the items was that meitash misha shanachtam. Our Mishnah said that the water that's utilized by the baker to put his hands over there and the dough gets mixed in over there, you have to spill that out because of the chametz that the dough is in constant contact with that water. Now, the Gemara poses a contradiction of two different brises regarding the clarification of this halacha. Tanachad, on the one hand, we have a brise that says, Shevchen b'mokam madrin, that you have to pour it out only in a place where there's a slope. Ve'ein shevchen b'mokam ishbarin, but you can't pour it in a place where it gathers together. And as Rashi explains, the term ishbarin is from the word shvir of breaking, where the ground is broken and there are cracks in the ground, where the water gathers there and sits there, and it doesn't get absorbed into the ground. And therefore, since it's just sitting there with the dough inside, it's going to become a chametz stick. So it has to be in the slope where it's going to go and disperse. But Tanya Idach, yet we learn another brisa that Shevchen b'mokam ishbarin, one can pour it out even in a place where it's gathered, and we're not concerned for that. Another Gemara answers Loy Kasha. Hadinafishi, the one which we were talking about, that there was a lot of water, the kavu, where there it gathers and it's going to get stuck in the cracks, that there it's going to be aser because it's just going to sit there and not get absorbed in the ground. Ha, deloy nefisha, the one which we said that when there's not a lot of water, deloy kavu, the water is not going to gather, then it's going to be mutter even by ishbayrin because although it's going to be sitting there, it's not going to be a lot of water and it's going to get absorbed into the ground and therefore we're not concerned about becoming chametzik. Now the Gemara says on this topic, regarding what we were speaking about, this with a baker, when he goes ahead and kneads the dough. So regarding that process, that when you're kneading dough, and regarding the matzah, that shouldn't become chametz stick, the Gemara says the following halacha. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Isha loy talish. A woman should not knead the dough. Ela b'mayim shalanu. Only with what halachically is called as the term mayim shalanu, which means literally water that was left overnight. And that is because, as Rashi explains, in the days of Nisan, the water in the springs underground are actually warm. And that is because, since it's winter months, as the Gemara says later on, Daf Tzadi Dalma Beis, in the winter, the air in the climate is cold because the sun goes beneath the surface of the ground. Therefore, the whole entire world is cold, but the springs is to the contrary, there it's going to be warm. And therefore you have to leave over the water overnight so that they could cool down and that they shouldn't be hot from the fact that the sun is there beneath the ground warming it up. So you have to have mayim shalon, the water that was left overnight, so that it was able to cool off and then it shouldn't be making the dough chametz stick when you're kneading the dough. So the Gemara says an interesting story related to this, the Dorsher of Masna Befafunoi, that he lectured on this halacha, that you have to have Mayim Shalanu. Now he was giving the Drosh a lecture on Lashon HaKodesh in the Hebrew term, which was Mayim Shalanu. Now those who heard the Drosh thought he was saying, you have to use Mayim Shalanu, our water. Now the word is Shalanu is the word of Lan, of Laman Nun, which is that it was left overnight. But when he said Shalanu, it sounded like that it is ours. Kalanu means ours. So the Rav was saying that you have to use our water when you're kneading the dough. So lamachar aisi kula amachatzvayu. The following day, everyone brought their pitchers, v'asu legabe, and they came knocking on the Rav's door, and they said to him, havlan maya, give us water. So amalahu, he said to them, ano b'maya devisu amru. What I said was, which the word visu is the Aramaic term for lanu, that it was left overnight. I didn't say shalonu, that it's our water. I meant shalonu, that it had left, that it was left overnight. And that's what I meant to say. Go, you can go ahead and use the water. You don't need my water. Now, on this, related to this halacha about when the woman or whoever is making the dough has to make it, that it's not going to be warming it up as it's making it with warm water, and that's why it has to be mayim shalonu. So Darsh Rava lectured the following halacha. He said, Isha leitolosh b'chama, a woman should not knead the dough with water that when it's in the sun, she shouldn't be kneading it there in the sun because the sun is going to be heating it up. So she shouldn't be doing it in the open area where the sun is baking down it. And neither with water that was heated by the sun, and as Rashi explained, most definitely it can't be water that was heated by a fire. So we're taking all precautions that as we're kneading, the process should not be turning into chametz. Neither water that was shoveled out from a mulya, which is a large cauldron that's made out of copper, that it hangs on top of the fire at all times. And the copper, the walls are very thick. And therefore, even when there's no fire underneath it, the water that's on the bottom of this cauldron is very hot, or at least somewhat partially warm. And therefore, again, that if you use such a water, it can make the dough chametz stick in that process. But loy tikbi yadim natana, and similarly, she should not pick up her hand from the oven, which basically what they're trying to say is that she should be totally involved in the dough at all times, Until she finished the entire bread, you don't want to let up for a second, because if you give it that time, then it could ferment in the meantime. But tzarech, and she needs shnei kelim. She needs two vessels of water. Echad shemakatevis, but one is that the one that she's using to put onto the dough, the water that's used in the process. The echad shematanenis b'lezidan, that's a totally separate one where she cools off her hand, because those water which she uses for the process of the dough will get warm from the heat of her hand and the dough, and therefore she has to have a separate container of water to cool off her hands. Again, these are all the precautions and concerns we take regarding that when we're making the matzah, it shouldn't become chametz. So the Gemara asked Ibai Luhu, they had the following question. So we know that we should do this, have two separate waters, and the water should not be warm. However, Avriva Lasha, if she transgressed this, and she did need it with warm water, Mahu, what is the halacha regarding that matzah? So Mazucha Amamuta, Ravashi Amasu, we have a machlekes Amarim regarding the halacha. And the Gemara explains, Amazucha. So Menaminullah, from where do I know that ultimately, although we said it shouldn't be done that way, but if you use it with warm water, it's going to be permitted? Because they're telling, we learn the Braisa. We mentioned in the previous stuff that we should not go ahead and soak the barley for that which we're going to use on the dough on Pesach. And that is, again, due to concern of it becoming chametzik. Vim losses, however, if someone did soak it, then only if nisbaku asum, only if it cracks, then it's going to be forbidden. Lo nisbaku mutar, but if it doesn't crack, it's going to be permitted. Now, again, although that the Braisa said clearly that you're not supposed to do this lasisi, you're not supposed to soak it, however, it's going to be permitted. So here also, it's no different that since we see ultimately that it did not become chametzik, we don't see any sign of fermentation or cracks, so then it's going to be mutter. So therefore, you're right. We said that she shouldn't use warm water, but ultimately we see a good matzah came out, so it's going to be permitted. Rav Ashi, I mean, he responds, he says, what do you mean? What, you think you go ahead and you weave it all with one weave? It's like one big category for you? In other words, because you see by one is drabanam, by lasisa, that we said that if you will transgress that we said that you shouldn't soak it, but ultimately if you did it after the fact, it's going to be permitted to eat. So you want to say regarding every time we say something is forbidden, then after the fact it's going to be permitted? No. Where we said clearly that we will not penalize the person for transgressing, for example, by the case of Lasisa, then itma, that's where we said that it's going to be mutter, permitted after the fact. But where we did not say, we didn't say, and therefore he was responding and saying that if a woman did transgress and she needed with warm water, that's very close to being considered a mazid, someone that's doing intentionally something forbidden. And we're saying it's forbidden, and that's the knas that we penalize. And as Rashi says, this is different than the case of the dough of the non-Jew, which we had said on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, where a person could fill up his stomach from it, and that is because we said that since you don't see any cracks, you don't see any signs of chametz, it's going to be permitted, and hence you should say the same thing over here with the warm water, after the fact it should be good. Here it's different again, because that's what the Gemara is explaining, that Rav Ashi is responding, and that is, here we made a knas, because she transgressed on the Issa D'Rabbanan of not to use warm water, and she did use warm water. That's why we will knas, and we'll say even after the fact, it's going to be us. And again, that's the machlokes regarding if one did use warm water, if after the fact it's mutter or asa. So the Gemara says, Hadin Allah Kal Shah, we shall return to you the second parak of Masechta Pesachim, parak Kal Shah. Now we continue on to the third parak, also continuing on the theme, this Mishnah of the halachas of chametz, about the different chashashas, about an item when you're using it with flour, about becoming chametz. So the Mishnah begins. The elu ivrin, and with these items which the Mishnah is going to delineate, one will transgress the issa of bal yirah and bal yimatzah bePesach on Pesach, and the Gemara is going to explain all these different items, what they are and why there's an element of issa of chametz related to them. So one of them is kutach habavli, the famous Babylonian dip called kutach, v'sheich hamadi and the Median beer, v'chaymetz adomi and the Edomian vinegar, v'zeisim amitzri and the Egyptian zeisim, v'zeimin shel tzavom and the zeimin of the dyers. The amelin shall tabachim and the amelin of the cooks, the kailin shall seifrim and the kailin of the scribes. Rabbi Lazar, he says, aftach shite nashim, even the cosmetics of women, which the Gemara doesn't explain why would cosmetics of women be also, but he includes that also as a problem of bayirah bayimotza of chametz. And the Mishnah sums it up. Zehakal. This is the general rule, if you want to know. Kol shuhu mimin dagan, whatever's from a type of grain, that is the five types of grain, that's wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt. These are the five types. So if you have anything that's from the five types of grain, Hareza Oiva Pesach, one will be transgressing the Issa of Pesach, which these items all have that. However, Hare Elu Bazar, they only have a negative prohibition, but Ve'in Behem B'Shem Karas. But these items will not have the Karas penalty if one consumes these items. But again, there is a lav if one eats. And the Gemara doesn't explain all these different items, why that is that, why do they have a lav. So now the Gemara brings a Braisa that will explain And the Gemara will begin the process of explaining what all these different items are and why they have an Isra of Chametz attached to them. So, Tanan Rabbanan, the Braisa. Shleish Dvarim Nemru, which is the first item mentioned on Mishnah, but Kutach HaBavli, there are three things that were said regarding this Babylonian dib of Kutach. First of all, Mitat Mesaleib, it clogs the heart. Misam Mesanaim, it blinds the eyes. Umachish HaZaguf, and it weakens the whole body. And this was a favorite dip that they had. And the Gemara explains. Mitamt Mesaleib, it clogs the heart. Mishum Nesiyub Dichalbi, one of the ingredients is whey, which is one of the parts that separate from the milk. That clogs the heart. And it blinds the eyes. Meshamilcha, because of the salt that was in this, in this kutach, there was what's called melech sedoimis, the sedoimid salt, which blinds the eyes, and that's why we have a chiyav of mayim achrayim. So that when someone touches the salt, and then he goes and he touches his eyes, that causes blindness. And finally, umachesh as a guf, and it weakens the whole body. Mishum kumnisa du'uma, because of the moldiness of the bread. That is, this dip was held on for a long time, and the bread would become moldy after a time because of the kutach that it was inside of it, and therefore, again, it had all these three different detrimental effects. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings another b'raisa. The Tanna Rabbanan, the b'raisa, Gimel Dvar Marben Hazevel. There are three things that increase one's waste matter. The kaifen esakayma, and they diminish a person's posture. In other words, it makes him weak. The neitlin echad mechamesh meis mimor enif shel adam, and it takes away a 1/500th of the person's vision. Elohim, what are these items? Paskiva, their coarse bread. Beshecha chadash, and new beer. Beyarakai, and raw vegetables, which Rashi says, for example, like leek and onions and radishes. When you eat many of them, it causes these detrimental effects and causes a lot of waste matter from the person. However, then the Gemara brings out Brisa to the opposite effect. There are three things that decrease the person's waste matter. And they erect the person's posture. And they enlighten the person's eyes. Elohim, these three things are pasnikia, refined bread, basar shaman, fatty meat, v'yayin yashan, and old wine. And the Gemara explains what exactly these three items are. Pasniki, refined bread is, as we continue on Tamid Beis, that's a reference to dismida. That's what's called, commonly known as silas, as refined flour. Basar shaman, fatty meat, that's the tzvirta. That's from a female goat, the loy iftach, that was never opened, in other words, that she never gave birth. And yayin yashin, old wine, which is a reference to atik atiki, very old wine, in other words, wine from at least 3 years old. These three things decrease the person's waste matter, give the person strength because of its benefits that it has to it. Now, similar to this, the Gemara says, "Kol mili demalahai." Anything that's beneficial for this sickness, kashalai, is detrimental for this sickness. With the kashalai, and whatever is detrimental for this one, malahai works for this. And that is, if something is good for the heart, it's harsh for the eyes. Or one of the other sicknesses about one of the other limbs. It's hard to get one and not cause some type of side effect to something else. Bar, except mizangvila retiva, which is fresh ginger, upipoli arichta, and long pepper, upas nekia, which are the items that we mentioned that they have the benefits before, which is refined bread, ubasar shamin, and fatty meat, v'yayin yashin, and old wine, demali lekule gufida. These items are good for the entire body. It's not causing one benefit in one place, but a detrimental effect in another place. So again, that was the first item that we see clearly, that this Kutach HaBavli had this bread that becomes moldy, and that is why it's Asr on Pesach, that one will be Oivra on Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotz. Now the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah that said, Sheikh Ramadi, the Median beer, is also going to be Asr on Pesach. Why is that? So the Gemara explains, the Ramu be Mesari, because they put in barley water into making this beer. And that's how they make it. As Rashi says, in his days already, they had been making beer out of barley. And that's how they made it in Madai, which Rashi explains, why was it called the Median beer? Because in the times of the Gemara, they would make their beer from dates. But however, in Madai, they would make their beer out of barley, like the way most of our beers are made. And that's why they were called Sheikha Madai, again, because of that the barley was made in there. That's why that's Aser on Pesach. The next item the Mishnah said was the Chaymetz Adomi and the Adomi vinegar. Now, why is that Aser on Pesach? And that's because the Shodu Beisari, because they put barley into their wine, they then make it, turning, when they put in whole pieces of barley, to make it chamet, to make it ferment and turn it into vinegar. That's because their wine was very good and very strong. It would not turn, so to speak, until they would put in barley inside of it. That why is, regarding that vinegar, we know that it has chametz, because the only way their wine would turn and into vinegar was if they would put in barley. So the Gemara comments on this. Amar of Nachman, and the Gemara says, by Yitzchak, there are those that take it out, and the Gemara later on works out better like that. Is B'tchila, originally, when the Beis HaMikdash was still around, when they would bring the Sachem, which was those that they had been pouring the wine as libations on the Mizbeach, from Judea, from Yehuda, then in the merit of the Nesachim, then the wine of Yehuda had a good taste. So therefore, there then at that time, the wine, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the wine of Judea would not ferment and turn into vinegar until they would put in barley inside of it to make it turn. And they would call it plain vinegar. That was the term we knew because that was how it was made. It was a reference to the wine of Yehuda. Now, it's the wine of the Edomites, that their wine does not turn into vinegar until we put barley into their wine. And that's what we refer to now, what we're talking about, vinegar. That again, that's a problem on Pesach. That used to be the wine of the vinegar of Yehuda. Chemetz Tam, that was the problem, because we knew they had to put in barley into that wine to turn into vinegar. Now, it's as our Mishnah said, that's the Chemetz HaDoimi. That now their wine is the strong one, and it could only become Chemetz Tik if we put in barley, and that's how we know that that's a problem on Pesach. And that's what the Gemara says, L'kayim Asher Nemar. This is fulfills what the Pasuk in Yechezkel that says, Ima lo hacharava, that I will fill up from the desolate one. And that is the beginning of that Pasuk says that Yan Amr Tzur Yerushalayim, that Tzur Tyre tells Jerusalem that I will fill myself up, I will become great from the destruction of Jerusalem. And Tzur is from Edom. And therefore the point is that Imola Zu Charebezu, if this one is full, then this one is destroyed. Imola Zu Charebezu, this one is full, this one is destroyed. And that is Yerushalayim and Edom are like a seesaw. If one is up, the other one's down. If the other one's up, the other one's down. And that is what this concept is saying, that when the Beis Hamikdash was around, our wine was the greatest. And it could only ferment and turn chametz and become acidic, turning into vinegar, only if we'd put in barley. Now that the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed and the Edom is great, it's their wine that's the greatest and not ours. And that's why their wine is the one that, for when it turns into vinegar, we know that's a problem on Pesach, because they obviously had to put in barley to make it ferment. A different source for this concept, that the seesaw of Edom with Jerusalem, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amahachav, I'm passing in Bereishis, that says, that this kingdom will become strong from the other kingdom. That was the when Rivka was holding Esav and Yaakov, that this was that she was told that one will be stronger from the downfall of the other one. That is when Esav is the mighty one, Yaakov is weak, and that we cannot have both of their kingdoms at standing at the same time. And that's the idea that now Edom is the one on top and Jerusalem is the one on the bottom. And that's why the Jerusalem wine is not anymore requiring the barley, but it's only the one of the chametz of the Edom. So now regarding this idea, the Gemara brings another b'raisa. Tanya learned a b'raisa. Amr Bihuda. Bihuda b'rishayna, originally in Yehuda in Judea, halakeach chametz me'am ha'aretz. If someone would take vinegar from an ignoramus, now buying produce from an ha'aretz generally is problematic because we don't know if they took of ma'aser. However, if one bought vinegar from the Amoritz, ein tzarach la'aser. Rabbi Yehuda says he would not have to take off ma'aser, although generally when you buy from Amoritz, what's called demai, we don't know if he did take off ma'aser or not, you have to take off. Vinegar, you don't have to. Ne'shechazaka eina ba ela manatemet, because we know for a fact that this vinegar was obviously coming from temet, which temet itself does not have a chiyev to take off ma'aser, which temet is wine that comes from the chartzanim or from the shemarim. These are the different parts of the, it's not coming from wine that's turned, it's just coming from the seeds or from the lees itself. And that's because the wine, again, as we said originally in Judea, when the Beis Hamikdash was around, their wine was good and they would not ferment. So therefore, where would they take vinegar from? It was coming from temet. It was only coming from the grape skins or whatnot. That's how they would make the vinegar, because the wine itself would not turn. And therefore, if you're buying vinegar, you know that it's from an item that, which again, what temet is, that's only, it's like an imitation wine. You're taking just the peels and you're making wine out of that. And that is what they would make the vinegar out of, because their actual wine would not ferment. And since temet has no chiyuv to take ma'aser, if you're buying the vinegar, which is a derivative from that, you don't have to take ma'aser. However, Yehuda says va'achshav, but now that the taste of the wine of Yehuda lost its flavor and it does become easily chametz stick, it does turn into vinegar easily. Halakei chametz mama aretz. If someone purchases vinegar from an ignoramus tzarach la'aser, he does have to take off ma'aser. Shechazkase in the boil minayam, because now the chazaka is, we assume that it is coming from the wine, because that is the easier process, and that does turn easily into vinegar, and therefore we have to assume it's from there, and therefore since that does have a chiyuv ma'aser wine, that's why if you're buying from an aretz, you would have to take off, like based on the halachas of demai, to take off your own ma'aser. So now the Gemara asks on the halacha. The Savar Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda himself actually hold that temed lav bar isrihu, that temed has no chiv of ma'aser, and therefore in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when their vinegar would come from Temet, which again we said it's from these pieces of the wine, but not the wine itself, that then you would have to go ahead, and then you wouldn't have to go ahead and take off ma'aser because there's no chiv of ma'aser. But v'hod tanya, which the true gear says tanan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Ma'asers, that says hametamid, if someone makes this Temet, v'nasin ma'ay b'mida, and he puts in water according to a certain measurement, and he finds that the total volume of that beverage has the same amount of water exactly as the amount of water he put in. So then halach is pater. Then that person is going to be exempt from giving ma'aser because what do you have over in this product? You only have water because you have exactly the amount of water you put in. Now, although it has the look and the taste of wine, that's why they had this beverage called temed, but it's just the acidic element of the fruit. And you're not really getting any actual wine. So therefore, there's no chiv of ma'aser because all you have is water and there's no chiv of ma'aser on water. Rabbi Yehuda says that the person would be chiv of ma'aser, and that's because he says the main criteria is the look and the taste. It looks like wine, tastes like wine, has the halacha of wine. You have to go take off ma'aser. So that seems to contradict. We're talking about hametamid, we're talking about temed, that Rabbi Yehuda says one is chiv of ma'aser, yet in the previous brisa, he said, it seems to be that regarding the vinegar, that one is exempt from ma'aser when he buys from Ma'aretz because it comes from Temet. Now that seems to say that Temet does not have a chiyuv of ma'aser. So how do we resolve this contradiction? So the Gemara has two truths. The Gemara, the first teret says, Hachi kamar, what the first brisa was saying was, Lo'inech shedu ami ha'aretz al ha'temet. You're right. There is a chiyuv to take off ma'aser from Temet, as what we said in this Mishnah Ma'aser. However, they're not suspected. That is, although generally we do have to take off ma'aser based on the halachas of demai, because we suspect am aretz, regarding something like temed, they're not suspected that they did not take off ma'aser because it's not so chashuv, it's not something so expensive, and therefore someone that purchases from the am aretz is exempt from demai, not because there's no chiv of ma'aser, but because we assume that here in this case the am aretz did take off ma'aser. Ibai Sema, a second approach the Gemara brings to resolve this contradiction is Nechshadu, that no, they are suspected, they are suspicious, just like regarding all elements by Temet, that we also suspect that maybe they didn't take off Ma'aser. But Leikasha still is not a contradiction. Because Ha, this that Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah Ma'aser, that the person is chayef to take off Ma'aser on Temet, is Bidravka. It's talking about a certain type of Temet, that they put in the lees. Those are the pieces, so to speak, of the grape in the water, which is also a type of temed. And that type of temed, then Rabbi Yehuda said the person is chayav ma'aser. And even though, as that's what the Mishnah was clearly saying, which Rabbi Yehuda was arguing the other opinion, that you find exactly the amount of water you put in, so then why would you be chayav? So he explains the reason is because the wine of the lees do get mixed into the water that's there. But although there's the same exact amount of volume, that amount of water that you put in, because the water gets then absorbed into the shemarim, into the lees themselves. So there is that exchange rate between the shemarim and the water. So although you find the exact amount of volume of liquid that you had when you put in the water, but it's not all water anymore. There is some wine that gets absorbed, and therefore one would be chayef to take off ma'aser because there is some wine that's inside of here. Ha, however, the brisa that said, the first Tanoic statement of Rabbi Yehuda that was in the Brisa that he said that one is going to be putter, that would be even on definite Meiser, that one would be putter. That is because, that's talking about the fruits, and that's talking about when the temet was made from the seeds of the grapes, where you put water in the seeds, and that ferments, and that after a while becomes like this type of a wine. That's called temet too, and that is only like, that's the only that like the acidic element of the fruit of the grape, and therefore there really is no wine here whatsoever. And that's why in that case he said that if one purchased that from Amaretz, he would not have to take off Meiser, even if we knew for sure he didn't take off, because that vinegar is coming from a temet, a certain type of temet which has no wine whatsoever, which is different than the other type of temet which does have some type of a wine, and there one would be chayv. Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah that spoke about the items that are going to be usher on Pesach because of chametz, was v'zeisam amitzi, and the Egyptian zeisam. So the Gemara asks, my zeisam amitzi, what is this product that has a problem on Pesach because of chametz? So Tanya Rav Yosef, Yosef said, it has these ingredients, which one of them definitely is a problem of chametz, which is the first one, tilsa sari, a third of it is barley, tilsa kurtimi, a third is saffron, but tilsa milch, and a third of it is salt, and that's why, since it has barley, that's why it's forbidden on Pesach because of chametz. But however, the Gemara said, Rav Papa Mapik Sari, he took out that the first ingredient is not a third barley, rather ma'ayil chit he inserted, it's a third of it wheat, which that is also a problem because of chametz. And the Gemara says, b'samanecha, and a mnemonic to remember that you shouldn't make a mistake, who said that a third of it is wheat and who said a third of it is barley, is sisani, which is a type of an item, but the idea is that Rav Yosef, who has a samach in his name, he said sari, which also has the same sound as a samach, to say that he's the one that said it's the sa'iri, and that's how you remember who said what. So the Braisa continues and says, Taruluhu, so now this item, this product which we're talking about has a problem on Pesach because of Chametz, Zesim, and Mitzri. How did they, we know what ingredients were inside, but how did they make it? So Taruluhu, they would soak it, Vekaluhu, and they would toast it, Vitachnuhu, and they would grind it, and these are all these items together, Vishaslo, and then they would drink it, and when did they drink it? Midivcha v'adatarta, from Pesach until Shavuos time. And now the Gemara talks about the beneficial aspects of drinking this Zeisan HaMitzri was to come it, someone that was constipated, that his orifices, his holes were closed in his body, then Marpile would loosen him, it would make him diarrheic. But Derafin, someone that was loosed, that again, that someone that had Shulshul, that he was diarrheic, Mikametle, so then it closes him off, it constipates him. So it has opposite effects for whichever element he's suffering from, it makes him back to the baseline. However, the Gemara does say that l'chayla, however, for a sick person, l'ishu ubra, and for a pregnant woman, sakante, it's dangerous for them to ingest this, again, because it would be too much of a laxative for them, and that's why they should not be taking this item. Now the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah, v'zayim shel tzavam, and the zayim of dyers, that also has chametz stick ingredients to it, and therefore it's asur on Pesach. So the Gemara says that Hocha Tergimu, here they translated that what is this item of Zayman is Maya de Chivri. It's bran water. The Tzavi Behulaba, that they would dye the skins red, and that was, they had this, again, this bran, which was obviously has some chametz inside of it, and that's why it was a problem to use this on Pesach. And if someone ingests it, he'll have that Issa. Then the item was Amelim Shel Tabach HaMechul. Then the Mishnah said that the Amelim of the cooks. So what is that? So the Gemara says, Pas Tavua, this is the bread of grain, Shleiviu Shlish, that was not yet a third ripe, Shemenicha Al Pikadir, which is then that dough is put on the top of the pot, V'she'eves HaZuama, and it draws the froth that comes out of the top of the pot. That is, again, has an element of Chametz to it, and that's why that's Asra on Pesach, as Rashi said, of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzah. Then the next item was of a Koilin Shel Sefer Mechulu, that the Koilin of the scribes, that's also a problem from Chametz on Pesach. So the Gemara says, Hacha Targumo, here they translate it, what is that? They define it as Perura du Ushkafi, that's the shoemaker's glue. And that is that the way the shoemakers would go ahead and attach the pieces of leather when they would split into two, or they would attach two pieces of hide together to make a very thick shoe. And the way they would make it was with the flat with rye flour, and therefore that was a problem. The Gemara later on will explain exactly if it's shoemaker's glue. Why was it called the Koilin al Seifrim of the scribes if it's shoemakers, not scribes? So Rav Shimi Mechazino Amar, he says that it's something else, not shoemaker's glue. Rather, there's a tipulon shel benais ashir. This is the paste of the wealthy girls, and that is that which was made out of fine flour. Shemesharis oisul labanis, that this was that they would leave over for the girls of the scribes, and that's what's called koilin shel seifrim, who they would teach the little children, which they were anim, they were poor, and therefore that leftover was what would then be a problem on Pesach because that fine flour could become chametzik. Now Rashi says, why didn't we just say that it's the poor girls themselves? Is that we can't say because the poor girls did not have fine flour and they only had lime, and that's why it was the leftover from the wealthy girls and then they would have leftover for the poor. That would be a problem on Pesach. Now they would go ahead and attach this thing, whether it was lime for the poor girls or shaylis for the wealthy girls, which is what we're talking about, and they would put it on their skin to go ahead and remove the hairs from their body. That item, which has silas and it has fine flour, is a problem of Pesach because of chametz. And that's what koilin shel seifrim means according to this second pshat in the Gemara, which the Gemara asks on this pshat. Ini, is it really so? Batani Reb Chiya, but Reb Chiya had taught us that, and he gave a mnemonic to a simon to remember for our Mishnah regarding all the cases, how many cases there were. He said, arba mina medina, four of the cases of our Mishnah was things that are in general usage for the general population, which every person needs, whether the person's a professional or not a professional, because there are things of food items or there are things for healing things, which is kutach, shecher, chaimitz, zesim. These are things that regular people use. V'shleishim in umnes, and three of them out of the seven was things that professionals use. and that is the Zayman is only fit for the dyers, the Koylan is only fit for the Seifim, and the Amelin is only fit for the cooks. Now, and if you're going to say that the Koylan of Seifim is that it means the daughters of the scribes who were poor that had left over from the wealthy girls, Silas, which they use as a way of removing the hair, my mini umnesika. Why is that included in the category of the things which are used for professionals? It's a thing that every girl uses. So why would it be considered from the things that are professionals? So the Gemara says that obviously that's not the pshat. So then what are you going to say? The first pshat that the Gemara said, Perura du ushkafi, it's the shoemaker's glue. But then the question is that even that first pshat is difficult. Am I kara the high kolon shall say from? Why is it called the kolon of the scribes? Kolon shall ratzon mibayle. It has to be the kolon, the glue of the shoemakers. Why are we calling it the glue of the scribes? And that the Gemara says, Ravashi lo'olam peru de'ushkapi. Really, it's like the first pshat in the Gemara that's the shoemaker's glue. Well, my car, the kolon shel seifim. Why do we call it the kolon of the scribes? It's because the seifim nami medavkim behud nerusin, because the scribes also attach their papers with this same glue, and that's why we call it the kolon shel seifim, and that is their papers were made out of grass, which were attached together, and this was using that same glue. That's why it's called kolon shel seifim, which has items of chametz in it. As we said, it has the kemach of rye, it has the rye flour, and that's why it has a problem of chametz on Pesach. Then the Mishnah continued and said, "Rabbi Lezaimer, after chshiti nasha mechule, even the cosmetics of women, even that's a problem for chametz on Pesach." Which the Gemara asks, "Tachshiti nasha mesukat daitach? Can you entertain that a woman's cosmetics is a problem for chametz on Pesach?" Like Rashi says, "What is it? It's eyeshadow, it's rouge, it's perfume that they hang on their necks for a good smell. What type of chametz is there in these ingredients of these items?" So the Gemara says, "Eleima afti puli nashim." Rather, what do we mean when we refer to the tachshite, the adornments of the women? We mean their paste, which is what we had just mentioned before, the Mehudim Arav. But Nais Yisrael, the Jewish girls, when continuing on top of Megillah Med Aleph, Shegiu LePirkin, which they reach their period, LeHegiu LeShanim, however, they don't reach that age, and that is they have hairs as if they got to their perik, to a certain period in their life. But they didn't reach that age yet, and they're embarrassed that they already have that sign of maturation, and they're really younger than that. So what they would do is, Benais Aniyim Teiflis Eisen Besid, the poor girls would then paste themselves with lime, and that would be a way of removing those hairs. But they said, Shirim, Teiflis, Eisen, Besailis, the wealthier girls, they would go ahead and paste themselves with fine flour, and that itself would remove the hair. And Benais Malachim, Beshemin, Hamar, and the daughters of royalty, they would use myrrh oil. Shanem, like it says the Pasuk in Esther, that we see the royalty, Shish Chadashim, Beshemin, Hamar, for 6 months, that they would use the oil of the myrrh, which the Gemara says, My Shemin, Hamar, what is Shemin, Hamar? Shabbahuna bar Yimri Yomer, he says it's Sitachas. Yimri bar Abba Amma, he says it's Shemen Zayish Levishlish. It's olive oil that was not yet matured a third of its growth. That's what Shemen Hamar is. Now, related to this, the Gemara says that Tanya, Rabbi Huda Yomer, Unfiknin, what's Unfiknin? That's also Shemen Zayish Levishlish. That's olive oil that did not bring a third of its growth yet. That's what Unfiknin is. Now, the Gemara asks, Balama Saichan, I say, so why would they anoint themselves with the Shemen Hamar? And that's as we had said, Shemasha Esaser, because it removes the hair, Uma'adin Eshabasar, and it makes the skin glow. And that's why the Jewish girls, for whichever ingredient they was using this product, they would use it to remove the hair again because it was embarrassing. They weren't at the age yet for having these signs. And again, that's the item that what he was saying is, Rabbi Lez was saying that Af Tachshit Nashim, it means this idea that it had chametz, as we had said, because of the silas, although there was a pshat in the Gemara that wanted to say that's exactly what Kuran Shal Saif, and we fell off of that, but that's exactly what Rabbi Lezer means when he says Tachshit Noshim, he means this paste of the girls, specifically which was by the wealthy girls, that they would use the silas that had fine flour, which then would be a problem of Chametz on Pesach.